What's happening, everybody? On today's show, the Georgia-Florida game is staying put in Jacksonville for at least the next few years, but is it the right decision? And could the SEC look at further expansion? Greg Sankey talks about what would factor into that decision and stop moving college games off college campuses. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what is happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. It's great to have you guys along. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And shout out to our everydayers. All right, let's jump into it. Plenty to discuss. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Makes the handoff.
What a catch! Around the conference.
And we got to start today with the big news that came out yesterday afternoon. Florida and Georgia announced their location for their 2024 and 2025 games. The Florida-Georgia rivalry game, also the artist formerly known as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. We know it's been played as a neutral site game in Jacksonville, and it's been kind of up in the air. Where are they going to go in 2024 and 2025? But it's been decided. Jacksonville officially announced that the Gators and Bulldogs have exercised their option and will play at TIAA Bank Field, of course, the home stadium for the Jacksonville Jaguars, in 2024 and 2025. The existing contract between the schools and the city of Jacksonville contained a clause outlining an option to keep the game at the neutral site the next two seasons, and the city of Jacksonville just had to be notified prior to June 30th this year, and the schools formally notified the city that they are going to do so. Florida AD Scott Strickland said the city of Jacksonville has been a historic host for one of the great rivalry games in all of college football. We're excited to have the game in Jacksonville for another 2 years. Georgia Director of Athletics Josh Brooks, he said, we're pleased with the decision to exercise the option that will keep the game in Jacksonville. We look forward to discussions, and I'm sure we'll continue over the next couple years exploring all the options for 2026 and beyond. Of course, the annual rivalry game been played in Jacksonville since 1933, with the exception of 1994-1995 seasons due to the construction of the new stadium there. Georgia riding a two-game win streak. They've won five of the last six in the series. Bulldogs lead the all-time series 55-44-2. And I got to say, I thought maybe Georgia and Florida fans might want to move this thing back on campus. Remember, Kirby Smart had talked about that and kind of a want to do that. But I saw a lot of Georgia and Florida fans on social media saying they're happy. They want to keep the game in Jacksonville. They hope it stays that way for years to come. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if it does stay there for many, many years. Of course, remember a couple weeks ago, the outgoing Jacksonville mayor, Lenny Curry, was on 1010XL Radio in Jacksonville and said they got some stadium renovations coming up that he thinks is going to be about a two-year renovation. So, you know, he said that not only will we have to move the Georgia-Florida game somewhere else, but you know, the Jaguars are going to have to go play somewhere else. So that's worth keeping track of. Is that still going to happen? Are they still going to do that construction? What years are they going to do it? Something to keep an eye on there. But the big question comes back to, is it the right move? Why would the schools, you know, why do the schools want to keep it? It's very lucrative, is the answer. Money, like most, the answer to most things. Why is that way? Money. An industry source estimates that both Georgia and Florida net more than $5 million each year annually for the game, between payouts, management fees, ticket sales, and all the other revenues. And that's the main reason that the game is staying in Jacksonville. Look, Kirby Smart said a few months back he'd be open to changing the arrangement. He doesn't like that he loses a recruiting weekend. You know, this would alternate every year, but, you know, keeping the rivalry game at Georgia, they can host more recruits and all that stuff. They host some still in Jacksonville. It's a little bit tougher to get everybody down there, that sort of thing. Not as tough for Florida. I mean, obviously, Jacksonville's not too far away from Gainesville, but alternating the game home and home just not something that's in the cards right now. And, you know, the big reason for that is the lost revenue on both sides. So, you know, the thought is we're going to have expansion here real soon. As we know, Texas and Oklahoma are coming in. We're going to see how the permanent rivals play out. You know, the thought is SEC going to move possibly to a 9-game schedule, and you're only going to have 3 permanent teams that you play every year. A lot of folks believe this will be one that will be preserved. Look, you got to preserve some of the traditional rivalries. We think Georgia-Auburn is going to be preserved. We think the Iron Bowl is going to be preserved. And the Florida-Georgia game is one that a lot of folks think needs to be preserved. And so we will find out in the coming weeks, really, on what the 2024 SEC football schedule is going to look like with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas and how they're going to do it, who are the permanent rival teams that are preserved every year. But I think this will be one of them, Georgia and Florida. And look, it's I'm all for tradition and stays in Jacksonville, sure. But as we'll get into a little bit later, I'm a fan of putting college games on campuses, keeping college games on campuses. It's the whole reason we have colleges and home stadiums, not to keep taking them off-site to NFL stadiums. More on that a little bit later in the show. Let's get to some other tidbits going on around the conference. Recruiting news. Georgia, they continue to just add on the recruiting trail. They picked up a class of 2024 tight end on Wednesday in Jaden Riddell. He had offers from schools like Tennessee, Alabama, Notre Dame. He's a 4-star recruit, rated the number 55 overall prospect in the country on 24/7 Sports. He is considered to be the number 3 tight end in the country, only behind LSU's Tre'Davious Green and Florida State's Landon Thomas. Riddell is considered to be the number 3 player out of the state of Missouri. And he said about his decision, he said just the production of tight ends they've had, the opportunity to go there. Look at Brock Bowers. He didn't say that, but I'm saying that. Look at Brock Bowers. Riddell is athletic, really fast, 6'4", 220 pounds, plays multiple spots in high school. So be interesting to see him down the road if he stays with his commitment at Georgia, but good pickup there for Kirby and company. In other news, Ole Miss quarterback commit Desmond Williams. He's going to the Elite 11 Finals. He earned his invite to the event this week. Elite 11 held their final regional competition of the cycle earlier this week, and the Elite 11 Finals has become the nation's premier quarterback competition for high school prospects. Desmond Williams, he committed to Ole Miss back in December, and at the Elite 11 Finals in June, he will join an impressive list of quarterback prospects that include Alabama commit Julian Sayin and LSU commit Colin Hurley. Desmond Williams, 4-star prospect, currently ranked as the number 300 overall player, the number 16 quarterback in the country. Going to go play for Lane Kiffin and company. And one more note, Kentucky-related note, Tom Leach, a longtime voice of Kentucky Athletics, calls their football and men's basketball games. He was named to the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame on Wednesday, and he's in his 46th year of sports radio broadcasting in his home state of Kentucky, 34 years on the Kentucky broadcast team with the past 26 seasons calling play-by-play for Kentucky football and 22 seasons calling Kentucky men's basketball. So obviously a Hall of Fame resume there, and congrats to him. He is beloved in the parts of Lexington, Kentucky, and congrats to him. Quite an honor bestowed there. There you have it. That is the latest news going on around the conference. Coming up next, we're going to talk about potential SEC expansion again. We'll tell you what Greg Sankey had to say on what a deciding factor will be in that. Thank you guys for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. But first, we want to remind you this episode is presented to you by our friends over at Bird Dogs. Look, Bird Dogs, it is summer, guys, and if you were looking for some clothes that fit and are more comfortable, that is the way to go. Go check out Bird Dogs. You will look better. You will feel great wearing Bird Dogs. Like we said, comfortable. They're stretchy fabric, makes your legs look great, and they're comfier than, you know, other shorts and pants. They're versatile. They give you the freedom to wear one pair of shorts or pants to the golf course, to a meeting, on a date, hanging out with friends, whatever it is, Bird Dogs has got you covered. And of course, I got a lot of celebrity folks that wear them, the Part of My Take guys. They never wear pants. They always wear Bird Dogs. And you can too. Go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. And when you use our promo code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE, they're going to throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. And it's a legit tumbler. It's not like some cheap thing. It's a real legit Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler. Go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. Again, use our promo code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE. Get yourself some new shorts for the summer. You definitely need to be sporting these. And Bird Dogs, it doesn't get more comfortable than them. birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. Going along here, Locked On SEC. Thank you guys for making us your first listen every day. Coming up tomorrow on the show, hoping to catch up with our buddy Trey Wallace from Outkick and preview SEC meetings in Destin taking place next week. And that takes us to our next story we want to get into. The SEC meetings will take place next week. And one of the pieces Trey Wallace wrote this week was about the ACC agreeing to a new revenue distribution model. But he posed a question: how long will the ACC be able to keep Clemson, Florida State, and Miami happy? And that's got people thinking about more conference expansion in the future. And what do you do if you're the SEC, right? I mean, this is the big questions that, one of the big questions that's out there is, if you're the SEC, what if Clemson or Florida State comes knocking and say, hey, look, we want out of the ACC, we want to join the SEC. What do you do if you're Greg Sankey? It's an interesting question because I've always said footprint should be something that matters. If you guys have ever driven through the Florida Panhandle and stopped off in Tallahassee, one, Jimbo Fisher did a great job of winning a lot of games there post Bobby Bowden, and they had a lot of renovations to that campus. They built a lot of new, nice practice facilities. All that stuff's fantastic to look at. But if you've been on Florida State's campus, it kind of feels like an SEC campus. Again, it's in the footprint. You know, if you're going from New Orleans, seeing LSU play, and you're driving through the Panhandle, you want to go, you know, you're on your way to Gainesville, you're going to pass by Tallahassee. It's literally on the way. So the other part of it is Miami. I mean, you got North Florida or Central Florida, I guess you could say, with Gainesville. Go down South Florida. There's Miami right there. They're in the southern footprint. And, again, another school that is very football-centric. Pretty good basketball team, pretty good baseball team. I mean, they would fit into what the SEC would be looking for. And, of course, Clemson, look, they're a stone's throw away from South Carolina. They're in your footprint. And so these are all schools that would make sense. In the years past, we've talked Virginia Tech. We've talked, you know, other schools like that. But Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, he was on with Greg McElroy on his Always College Football show talking about the state of the SEC and, of course, the expansion going from 14 to 16 teams. And, you know, we know the Big 12 is expanding this summer. We know next summer the Big 10 will add USC and UCLA. And, of course, Texas and Oklahoma will come over to the SEC. Now, with the additions, a lot of these don't make sense geographically, right? I mean, taking two schools from Los Angeles, when they go play Rutgers and you got to go all the way to Piscataway, New Jersey, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Same thing with the Big 12 adding Central Florida and BYU. You know, going from TCU over to Baylor isn't that far from Dallas to Waco. But going from Waco to Orlando to go play UCF, or going up to Provo, Utah to go play BYU, it's a little silly. And so Greg Sankey told Greg McElroy on Wednesday, keeping a geographical standpoint is what's important to the SEC, and it's what was important when they added Texas and Oklahoma. And here's what Greg Sankey said. He said, there's something still for us from a geographical standpoint. I've had branding specialists say, well, you could do what Kentucky Fried Chicken did and just drop the word Kentucky. You could become KFC. He said, so we could have lost the Southeastern Conference moniker and just call ourselves the SEC, but not necessarily be in the southeastern part of the United States. But he said that's not really who we are. when we expanded, we added 95 miles basically to our travel, our longest trip. And our longest trip is shorter than the shortest trip that the LA schools will have in the Big Ten. We are still educational entities. We are still moving people from class to class. I thought that was a great statement from Greg Sankey. It's almost a mic drop. Look, the Pac-12 is hoping all the USC and UCLA are hoping moving to the Big Ten that the revenues are going to offset, right? They're going to make so much more money in doing this. The Ohio States, the Michigans are going to make so much more money that this is all going to make sense. Until you have to start trekking your volleyball team over to Piscataway, New Jersey, and back to Los Angeles, and then over to Columbus, Ohio, and back to Los Angeles, and over to Lansing, Michigan. I mean, there's so much travel in there. I love Greg Sankey for this. And again, we're keeping that door open. If there is future expansion, I don't think it's necessarily on the horizon, but down the road, if you want to add a Miami, if you want to add a Florida State, if you want to add a Clemson, they just make sense. They're right down the road from current SEC teams. And I thought he made a great point. I mean, look, Austin isn't necessarily right next door to College Station, but it's not much further. You know, when we added Texas A&M, it's not that much further. If you go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, it's not incredibly out of the question to go over to Norman, Oklahoma. It's right next door. So, again, I get it from Greg Sankey. We'll see what happens in the years to come. I do like that he has said, we're staying put with what we got for right now. Texas and Oklahoma, we're going from 14 to 16. We'll stay put with 16, but what will come down the road? Will there be more additions there? Will the ACC crumble? Will the Pac-12 crumble? A lot of stuff, a lot of dominoes to fall here in the coming months, 2 years in the landscape of college football. All right, thank you guys again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Coming up next, we're going to recap a little bit of what happened in the SEC tournament yesterday, and then I want to talk a little bit about a college game that was announced, non-SEC, but I'll tell you why it bugs me as a college football fan. That's coming your way in just a second. More Locked On SEC right after this. All right, rolling along here, Locked On SEC. Thank you guys for making us your first listen every day. Shout out to our everydayers. Make sure you check us out tomorrow. Again, we're going to get into a preview and a little bit of the big stories we expect to come out next week at the SEC spring meetings. As we dive back into it here, we do want to touch on a little bit of the SEC tournament continuing on today from Hoover. And just to recap, a little bit of the action that happened yesterday. LSU's Tommy White knocked in his second RBI on Wednesday against South Carolina. That gave him 91 RBIs on the season as he became the first SEC player with 90 ribbies since South Carolina's Yaron Peters did it in 2002. It's just the 16th time an SEC player reached 90 RBIs in a season. The SEC record is 118. Brandon Larson from LSU did that in 1997. And among those others, names like Will Clark, Todd Helton, Rafael Palmeiro, Tim Hudson. So that is good, a good category for Tommy White to be in there at LSU. He was a semifinalist for the Golden Spikes Award, came into the SEC tournament with the sixth highest single season RBI total in LSU history. Another milestone on Wednesday for LSU, Jay Johnson, head coach, picked up his 400th win of his career during an interview on the SEC Network after the game. He was unaware of the milestone. He said the blueprint for that, those many wins, is to coach players like Thatcher Hurd, who pitched really well for LSU yesterday to help them get their victory. So LSU is moving on. Another team that is moving on, Arkansas. Jarrett Wagner helped them take advantage of two Texas A&M walks and an error where he launched a grand slam beyond the left field fence to give Arkansas a lead. His blast was the 13th of the season, was just the third grand slam in SEC tournament history, and the first since 2018. A&M did respond in the ninth. They hit a solo shot from Austin Bose to tie the game. But Kendall Diggs, he was the hero as he sent the Razorbacks past Texas A&M in walk-off fashion in the extra innings. And quite an accomplishment there. The walk-off was the first ever for Arkansas in the SEC tournament. and becomes the first walk-off for the tournament overall since the 2019 season. The Razorbacks have now won 10 of their last 13 games, and they are just clicking at the right time in this, getting ready for postseason with the win. Arkansas advances. They will face LSU Thursday in the winner's bracket. And Texas A&M, they will get South Carolina with both teams up against elimination Thursday morning. The other big one, if you guys caught this one last night, Alabama and Florida. An epic game last night. Alabama led 3-2 after six innings. The Gators scored a run in the eighth to tie the game 3-3. We would go on to extra innings in this one as well. Alabama would score three runs in the top of the 11th to go up 6-3. A Tommy Seidel bases-clearing double to score three runs. And it looked like Alabama was on their way to a victory, but not so fast. Florida would put up a four spot in the bottom of the 11th to win it 7-6. BT Raiapel would hit a walk-off three-run home run. So incredible stuff there. Incredible drama from the SEC tournament. One of my favorite things to watch every year when we talk SEC sports. Hopefully you guys are watching. It has been a lot of fun. In some non-SEC news, before we get out of here, I did want to touch on this. If you guys missed it, Michigan State announced they will pack their bags for their regular season finale game this year. They will play their annual rivalry game against Penn State Friday, November 24th. That's Black Friday at 7:30 Eastern at Ford Field in Detroit. That's a game that was previously scheduled for that Saturday, November 25th at Spartan Stadium in East Lansing, Michigan. With the announcement, the Spartans are now slated to play their final three regular season games away from home. And despite counting as a Michigan State home game, the game at Ford Field will not be included in season ticket packages. Here's my problem. Michigan State, one, they lose their senior day at home in doing this. I'm just not a fan of moving so many college games off of campus. Like, we've done it for years with the season opening games, the one in Atlanta, the one in Dallas. We've done ones in Houston and all these different places. And we're getting ready to do it with more playoff games, right? Like, we like the idea of, oh, that first round of the additional playoff games, we're going to play them on campuses. And we're like, we're supposed to get excited about this. Like, college games should be played on college campuses. We have some beautiful campuses, not just in the SEC, but across all of college football. Keep the college games on campuses. Stop trying to move them to NFL stadiums. And look, one, like, NFL stadiums don't have a capacity as big as a majority of our college football stadiums. It's frustrating, man. It's really frustrating, and I think it takes away from some of the experience for college football fans, for the players. I'm sure to a certain extent it's fun to go play in an NFL stadium on a one-off, but man, now we've got season opening games, we've got these additional playoff games, we've got bowl games. You know, for years have always been played in these neutral offsite, you know, NFL stadiums and all this, and now we're talking about games at the end of the season being played in NFL stadiums. I just don't like it. I get it's all about money, theme of the show, we talked about it earlier, but goodness gracious. Let's try to find a way to get more college games on campus. We're seeing right now, LSU's playing Florida State. They just played in the Superdome last year in New Orleans. They're going to go play in Orlando this year. Why couldn't we have played that game in Tallahassee and Baton Rouge? Again, the home and homes, man. It's what we love about college football. It's what makes the pageantry so fun. You know, so many times we hear about certain teams, the band couldn't travel and all this kind of stuff. Play them at the damn stadiums where everybody can go. Goodness gracious. All right, I'm off my soapbox. And that is going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. I'm Chris Gordy. Thank you guys again so much for making us your first listen every day. Shout out to our everydayers who keep coming back, checking us out on the podcast or on the YouTube page. And remember to check us out tomorrow. Again, we'll be hitting on some of those key things to watch for at the SEC spring meetings coming up, or summer meetings, rather, coming up next week in Destin. I'm Chris Gordy. This has been Locked On SEC. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.